This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
This whole Richie Incognito thing.
Even though it is just one piece and the guard is not the left tackle, you know, protecting your blind side or what have you, I see him as a very integral piece for this Buffalo Bills team. So I think he's a player that's going to definitely be missed.
It's life-changing, and this game is built on relationships.
Mike Danger.
This is another opportunity for Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, to build the team they want to build with the guys they want to bring on board.
Gene Battaglia.
This is not a good offense, but with all these draft picks, it's a good time to start over on the offensive line.
The Bills will need to address that position in the draft, but the draft still needs to be directed at the top to the franchise quarterback.
I don't think people truly understand the difficulty it takes to win the cup.
But to have Toronto against Boston, that doesn't make any sense.
I just think it makes for intriguing hockey. And yeah, Boston-Toronto is going to be amazing.
How about the Battle of Pennsylvania? Flyers-Penguins.
The Battle of the Keystone State is probably the series I'm looking forward to watching the most. But it's very difficult for me to see a team beating the Penguins four times out of seven. So I've got the Penguins in six.
It sucks because we do have all the resources here to have success.
Rochester sports leader, 95.7 ESPN.
Good afternoon. Pull up a stool and join us. The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia is open for business. Appreciate you stopping by. We do not take it for granted. We can't do it without you. AM 950, 95.7 FM. Read the latest Bills and Sabres news at ESPNRochester.com. Find us on the radio.com app as well, free to download on your device. And take us with you everywhere you go. I am merely Mike Danger. He, the brains behind the operation, Gene Battaglia.
If you want to think that. 15 days, Danger. That's it. 15 days to the NFL draft. It's funny how this story, what makes the draft so interesting, it's ever evolving. Because if I asked you 2 weeks ago, if I asked you last week, heck, if I asked you Monday, all right, if the Bills don't get a quarterback, what's the second? You would have said, okay, the other need would have been middle linebacker, wide receiver. That's all changed now, hasn't it, with the news the last 24 hours?
You have a lot of flexibility in what you could do with your picks. We're going to talk some NFL draft later this afternoon. 425, the senior NFL draft analyst for NFLDraftScout.com, Dane Brugler, making the rounds in Western New York radio. I heard he was on Howard and Jeremy this morning on our sister station, WGR.
Yeah, so Dane is coming on with us, and he and his mock draft, and he's kind of a connected guy. Has the Buffalo Bills trading up for a quarterback, Danger? Ooh.
Yeah, it gets you excited when you see that they're trading up to number two with the Giants, but then, they have that number two pick, and they're taking the most divisive quarterback in the draft, Josh Allen. Ooh, okay. Given what you would have to give up to get to number two, would you be satisfied with Josh Allen as your franchise quarterback?
Ooh, can I answer the question this way? I might want to call in sick Friday because everybody here, all Bills fans in Rochester, would be upset with the team trading up to number two for Josh Allen.
Here's my question. Would you be upset with that, or would you be more upset? Because I think there's two schools of thought, and you know, I've heard it both ways, where you can't draft your quarterback. He's going to get killed, and you don't have any pieces around the quarterback. And he's, you know, okay. Yes, of course, you want to build around your franchise quarterback. But if you make it through the first day of the draft and you don't draft a quarterback, what's more depressing? The idea that you're going to bed on Thursday night not knowing who the future franchise quarterback of the Buffalo Bills is going to be, or knowing that you at least have your franchise quarterback?
I think Bills fans would be smart enough to know it's not the be-all and end-all to get up to number two if you don't pick the right guy. And to take apart what you just said there, what if we get to the end of Thursday night and the Bills don't pick a quarterback? Well, it's not out of the question that the first round has only four quarterbacks or five. Maybe Mason Rudolph the Bills could take in round two.
And I'm not saying that because I think that's what's going to happen. Anything could happen. I think that they've done everything that they've done to get their quarterback now, to get their quarterback in this draft. And whoever that quarterback is, and maybe it is Josh Allen. Maybe they do wait. Maybe it is a Mason Rudolph. There's so many options and so many dominoes that need to fall on draft night, but it wouldn't shock me if the Bills wait till 22 to go quarterback. To be honest with you, it wouldn't shock me if they don't go quarterback at all in the first round because the guys that they want have already been taken and they weren't able to move up. That wouldn't shock me either. So Dane Brugler covers it all. And you can, by the way, a great tool if you're a junkie, get his 2018 NFL draft guide. We just tweeted the link out to it at ESPNRochester.com. I mean, this is thorough, in-depth analysis on the entire draft. Dane does it better than anybody else. He'll be joining us at 4:25. And if you want to read up on the NFL draft, his draft guide link we posted just a few minutes ago at ESPN Rochester on Twitter.
Yeah, looking forward to that. And the other story here, and it's Bills related, Richie Incognito. We've got more developments on the Incognito story. But from the Bills offensive line standpoint, what does this mean? Who now is your left guard? Who will be center? What do you do with the two guys on the right side? All this all of a sudden now looks way in flux when you consider that Eric Wood had an unexpected retirement, a forced retirement, if you will, because of his injury. And now Richie Incognito. To talk about this, one of our good friends, Ryan Talbot from NewYorkUpstate.com, covers the Bills for the Syracuse Post-Standard. Feeding into this, too, and this was a below-the-radar signing, in my opinion, but it's going to be important now. Jeff Bodine, Cincinnati Bengals, a former starting center with the Bengals.
Right. Russell Bodine got picked up in free agency.
Russell Bodine.
Right. And you know, at the time, we didn't really think much of it because we thought, oh, Ryan Groy is going to take that position. That's going to be his gig. Ryan Groy now could move to left guard. I mean, what potentially you keep Ryan Groy around for, and you match that offer sheet last offseason, is that he's a flexible player. He can play left guard, he can play right guard, he can play center, and he did well filling in for Eric Wood at center. I think he'd be fine as a left guard as well. Does that mean Russell Bodine is your center moving forward? You're probably still going to have to deal with your line somewhere in the draft, probably more than once in the draft. But what does Russell Bodine offer the Bills in 2018? A good piece that Ryan Talbot wrote a few weeks ago upon that signing about on Russell Bodine at NewYorkUpstate.com. We'll dive a little bit deeper into that and what he knows about Russell Bodine, who's incoming from the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, so are the Bills at least set if they don't address the offensive line on day one, day two? You almost have to, you would think, at least on Friday, address the offensive line. But what if they didn't? Ryan Talbot to join us here later this hour.
Sabres GM Jason Bottrell just wrapped up his end-of-season press conference. We'll dive a little bit deeper into that as well, Gino. But first, let's continue some Bills draft talk. Chris in Rochester joining us in the sports bar at 454-ESPN, 454-3776. You're always welcome to pull up a stool and join us as well. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, Chris?
Hey, I got two questions for you. Are you guys doing a draft party on draft night day one? Anywhere?
I like the way you think, Chris.
This is not a plant, I got to tell you. Yes, we are.
All right.
Are we ready to announce this, Danger? I think we're ready.
Gene, you hold all the cards here. Like I said, you're the brains behind the operation.
Chris, we'll get back to that one. What was your second question?
Okay. All right. So now on the quarterback issue. If we do not draft a quarterback day one, do we start not believing in the process? Unless they get some amazing tackles or they trade back and they get multiple picks somehow.
Let me stop you right there. First of all, Chris, I mean, how dare you even question the process? I mean, why would anybody question the process? You cannot question the process. This is all part of the process. And Chris, if they don't select a quarterback in round one, we will have questions. But those questions will not be centered around the process. The process is infallible. Can't lose with the process. This is all part of the process. Everything. All of it. No. Don't question the process.
Okay. I really don't want Josh Allen, though.
Yes.
So I'll question Josh Allen. Any other quarterback I'm good with?
All right, Chris, let me ask you. Okay, so Josh Allen at 12, you're not good with? Josh Allen. Josh Allen at 22.
Is Josh Allen the only one left on the board at 12?
No, you could have Mason Rudolph or Lamar Jackson. Yeah.
Yeah, I still don't want Josh Allen at 12. I will take Mason Rudolph, and I'll take Lamar Jackson. Second coming to Tyrod Taylor, I'll take it all.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
But I will take Josh Allen.
Gene, don't leave Chris in suspense any longer. Where are we going to be hanging out on Thursday?
All right, we are going to where life is worth living.
Oh, 14580, Webster, New York.
Webster, we're coming for you. We are going to Hooligans East Side Bar and Grill for draft night. So our show is going to be live there 3 to 6. And then, Danger, you and I are just going to be hanging out watching the draft with everybody. So
listen, I love my family, but I'm not going home draft night. I'm staying at Webster. I'm staying at Hooligans. We're going to see that first round through.
It might be an Uber night for me.
It could be an Uber night, Gene. Yeah. We got to watch the draft last year, and you saw how I got when the Bears selected Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, look, I might consume a few beverages.
All right, guys.
Chris,
I'm going to be bringing out my whole Facebook fan page, guys. So that's where you're going. That's where I'll be.
We love it, Chris. Nice. We look forward to seeing you out there, and we'll have a lot of fun lamenting what the Bills do or do not do in the first round of the NFL draft on that Thursday night. Chris, appreciate the phone call. 454-ESPN, 454-3776. Can't question the process, Gene.
No. By the way, I want to thank Miller Lite for putting us out there at Hooligans Eastside Bar and Grill. Again, that's going to be on the 26th. We'll be broadcasting live. And then we're also going to be broadcasting live. We'll have this announcement coming up for round two. Because if there's ever a year danger that round two is going to be important, it's this year. The Bills have, right now they have 2 second-round picks. We'll also be somewhere. We'll tell you later on where we'll be for Friday. But for Thursday, yes, hope you can join us. Again, Hooligans Eastside Bar and Grill. Again, thanks to our friends at Miller Lite.
All right. Quickly, let's touch on Jason Bottrell and his end-of-season press conference. I don't know that I've heard an NHL GM sound that angry, or at least a Sabres GM sound that angry at the end of the season, which I guess if you want good news, that would be that. Okay, he's not robotic. He is angry. And even mentioned that, you know, Terry Pegula is angry. This is unacceptable. Wow. And that moving forward, you're expecting to see a different Buffalo Sabres team.
I would say Tim Murray was a very angry man, too. I mean, pull the tape from last year where he's talking about he threw his head coach under the bus. You remember that? Okay, I guess the coach is getting fired here. Tim Murray was always angry and difficult to deal with. But to your point, Danger, this was a different sounding Jason Bottrell. But as far as what clues did we get as far as player personnel, I think the only clue I picked up on was Robin Leonard, where the question was about Robin Leonard, and he pivoted overall to the goaltending situation. Meaning it wasn't exactly a breakdown of Robin Leonard, it was the goaltending situation overall. And in his answer, he said that Linus Ullmark was going to be one of the two goaltenders in Buffalo last year. Aha! All right, so for Linus, congratulations. Sound like you earned yourself a promotion. Who's that other guy going to be? He didn't say it was going to be Robin Leonard, Danger.
No. Hey, listen, I don't expect him to give us answers on what he's going to do with Robin Leonard at his end-of-season press conference, but he certainly made it clear, or at least paved a path for Robin Leonard to not be on this roster next season. That wouldn't shock me. Shouldn't shock any of you, and that might be a move in the right direction for the Buffalo Sabres, at least between the Buffalo Sabres, at least between the pipes. I like a pissed-off Jason Bottrell. I like what I heard today. They can't be anywhere near satisfied with this season. This is probably one of the more, if not the most, disappointing season that the Sabres have ever had. So, you know, pissed off is the baseline. I want to see action now behind those words. And this offseason, you know, I expect the Sabres to be moving some parts around. And let's see what happens with that draft lottery as well. Like, I'm curious about the draft lottery as the first step.
Yeah, and that's going to be coming up. And think of this. When the NFL draft is over, Sabre fans, that's a big night. That's, by the way, nice going, NHL. any other league would put their draft lottery on a night where people watch television, not bury it on a Saturday night in between intermissions of some game in the playoffs. That's when you're going to have the NHL draft lottery, but we'll be tuning in that night to see if the Sabres get the first pick. They have an 18.5% chance, Danger. That defenseman from Sweden would look awfully nice.
Yeah, let's get Dahlin on that blue line. That would be nice. Phil is in Pittsburgh joining us in the Sports Bar at 454 ESPN. Hey, Phil, how are you?
Hey, guys. I listened to the GM. And two things that stuck out for me. One was that Bottrell commented on the communication between Phil and the players and how it's getting better. That kind of was a struggle. That stood out for me, kind of like, I mean, really, there's a communication error? Like, I just feel like it's the players versus Phil, and they're not cohesive at all. And the second thing, and I'll hang up after I say it, is there's a losing culture right now in the Sabres organization. Mm-hmm. And if you look at McDermott and Dean, there's a winning culture, regardless if they're winning or losing. Everybody feels a winning culture, and there's just a losing – and when Bottrell came out and said that there's a losing culture in the Sabres, that stands out as the head coach and the culture he's providing. So I don't know, touch on that, but, you know, I was kind of bummed out about the press conference anyway.
Well, thanks, Phil, guys. You got it, Phil, anytime, and thank you for the call. You know, you mentioned the difference in cultures between the Bills and the Sabres. The Bills made moves to change that culture, and they made those moves regardless of the expense. They knew that there was going to be some gain to be made with some potential losses. And think about what they lost in Marcel Darius.
Or Sammy Watkins. Darby. I mean, those were deals where, yes, you got draft picks, but it didn't make on paper the Buffalo Bills a better team, or did it? Because those three guys we just rattled off, each of them in their own special way, at least had an issue in the locker room or, you know, some question about them being all in. Now, I can't pretend to tell you which of these Buffalo Sabres weren't all in, but what I can tell you is this, that when Housley and Bottrell were hired, the line we were fed here was better coaching, revamped defensive system where the defensemen will jump in, you'll have everybody will be on the attack, and a full season of Jack Eichel. And that will be the difference between this year and last year. That didn't happen. Jason Bottrell had an opportunity to come in and do some of the things that Brandon Bean did. So where McDermott gets a lot of the credit, and he should, Brandon Bean deserves, those are ballsy moves he came in. And we say that now, saying, it was a big deal at the time, okay, to trade Sammy Watkins, because you, on paper, were making yourself worse, and you're heading into the season, and talks of a tank and everything else. Who did the Sabres sacrifice, if you will? Marcus Foligno?
Well, I will say this.
Tyler Ennis? What?
I will say this. I mean, these guys are going to make, the Bills are going to make mistakes. You know, we don't have to look far. I mean, the Eric Wood retirement was it was botched completely. Like,
they
that
should have called that day off.
Completely botched. McDermott made plenty of coaching mistakes through the course of the season. Misuse of timeouts, field position, blah, blah, blah. We reviewed those throughout the course of the season. So they are not infallible. But in terms of culture, I think they've done a good job of identifying the guys that want to be a part of what they're doing moving forward versus the guys who are expendable, that can be moved for other pieces, other parts. I don't know that the Sabres have the luxury of that because, let's face it, there's just not a lot of talent on this roster. And then let's talk about the head coach, Jason Bottrell, and his confidence in Phil Housley.
Housley will be our coach next year. I have certainly enjoyed working with Phil over the past year here. I think the way I want to put the team together, the way he wants to play, right now, we have a losing culture. We haven't won here. And it's up to Phil and I to work with our players, to work through that, to make sure we change our culture.
So changing the culture, you can do it through trying to change the attitudes of the players that you have already on board. You can also do it by eliminating the guys that you can't save, that just aren't putting in the effort, that aren't putting in the work, that can't be turned around. We don't know who those players are. And even a guy like Ryan O'Reilly, who publicly said what he said the other day about losing his love for the game, like, yeah, guy had a bad day, and maybe there is something to saving Ryan O'Reilly and getting him back on the page of a winner. Phil Housley, and Phil, you mentioned this when he called us just now. Phil Housley developing relationships with his players. I mean, that doesn't happen overnight. And day one, I can imagine Phil Housley was probably a little tentative walking into that locker room and dealing with these guys and working hand in hand with these guys. And that probably improved over the course of the season and a little bit, you know, gradually day by day. I mean, think about walking into any new job as a leader.
But did it jump out to anybody else? Because the one thing from last year's season-ending press conference, Tim Murray throwing his head coach under the bus saying, do you remember this, Danger?
Yeah.
Well, hey, you know, I got to have better communication. You got to work on that stuff. Instead of being in the film room, you know, grab a cup of coffee and walk through the dressing room.
Sure.
That was kind of the quote or kind of.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. The analogy is almost. Isn't that what Bottrell was kind of inferring today?
Yes and no. I mean, you know, you get the impression from GM, first of all, when GMTM said that, I'm like, well, that's not really a good leader. A good leader wouldn't go up on and use his press conference as a platform to throw his head coach under the bus. And sure enough, they were both gone. And I think the Pegulas recognized that. And I think that's why you saw the changes that you saw. That's a dysfunctional organization.
But my point being, just what the message was, it's kind of the same. That this is where Murray did a bad job of explaining, hey, season-ending review of my head coach, this is what he needs to work on. Bottrell was a little more tactful in how he said it today.
Yeah. And by the way, I don't know that I believe that he is confident in Housley. He could say that he has all the confidence in the world. He should say that he has all the confidence in the world. But listen, if this team does get off to a slow start in 2018, 2019, 20 games, Thanksgiving, you know, like I imagine Phil Housley's on a short leash.
Well, here's the problem. Problem for Jason Bottrell, he's a smart dude. How many head coaches are you allowed to hire as a GM before you yourself are gone? And nobody has the stomach to go through us all again. I'm not suggesting Jason Bottrell, but what I would point out is Tom Donahoe, Buffalo Bills president, he got to hire two head coaches. He didn't get a chance at a third. Jason Bottrell's smart. He's not going to use that card in the deck right now. That would have been a shocking move had even with this being one of the worst seasons in Sabres history. Yeah. The first team ever to finish 31st, that this is not the time you fire Phil Housley.
No, not now. Not today. Maybe early next year if it doesn't go the way you want it to and you've made plenty of changes. I think that's what you can expect if you're a Sabres fan. Expect some changes. Expect to see some new faces in the lineup, new faces on this roster, and expect to see a team that come training camp is going to be competitive internally and that nothing will be given. And you've got some of that brewing here at the Rochester level that, you know, these guys playing for the Amherst are going to want. They're going to be hungry. They're going to want their opportunity to play for the Sabres. It'll be interesting. It'll be exciting. I liked what he said today. I liked that he was pissed off. I don't disagree with anything he said. And the culture, the changing of the culture, the losing culture, a lot of that has to do with the players you have in that locker room and whether or not you can get through to them, you can change them, or if there's anybody worth saving. And there might be a handful of guys that aren't worth saving. And by not giving Leonard a vote of confidence, I think you've identified one of them right there. Hey, before we get Ryan Talbot in to talk about all things Richie Incognito and Bill's offensive line and Bill's draft strategy, can we give a little love to intern Nick for a second? Intern Nick.
Well, this just underscores, no offense, Nick, but you getting retweeted by Richie Incognito. Good job, first of all, but it just says what a weird dude Richie Incognito is.
I mentioned it yesterday, and I'm not saying this in jest. Is this the early stages of CTE that we're witnessing and watching unfold right on Twitter, right on his social media page? I don't know that he's of right mind right now.
Well, he woke up. You know, if you look at Twitter this morning, the first tweet you saw from Richie Incognito, "Hi at Buffalo Bills." Okay, that's what you call a troll, is it not? Very passive aggressive. What are you saying? This is right now technically still your employer.
Yeah.
Okay. Is he upset? Richie wanted people to talk about Richie if you're sending out a tweet like that. But then intern Nick. Now, at surface level, you look at this and you look like you tweeted him as a fan. Explain to everybody what you said on social media to Richie.
Yeah, so my tweet was just sad to see, I tagged him, Incognito, retire. Here's a little something to remember him by, and it's a nice little song.
Well, it's you call it a nice little song. I don't know. I mean, he's probably aware that this song exists, but I don't know that he knew that this was the tribute that you were saying farewell to him with. This is from 4 years ago. I want to say this is from the Lebertard show.
I think you're right, yeah.
The Richie Incognito song that intern Nick tweeted him, that he then proceeded to retweet.
Richie Incognito retweeted this to everyone today.
Move stomping round the dolphin facility, toughening up everybody he sees. Who's cracking skulls and stealing from rookies? Everyone knows it's Richie.
Nice.
Who's eating nails and poisonous cobras? Intimidating guys on his team. Who stole my wife and broke my new glasses? Everyone knows it's Richie. And Richie has monstrous thighs. Be careful, he'll gouge your eyes. Screams racial slurs at black guys.
Wow.
But out of
out of love.
That's good. This is some good writing there.
That was sent out by intern Nick, directed at Richie Incognito, and he retweeted it.
Okay. I'm going to say Richie Incognito didn't listen to that song. He's had to have heard that song, right? And if he has, why would he retweet that to everybody?
You know what? Maybe he hasn't, Gene. No. Maybe we're dealing with a guy who's just so oblivious to the outside world that it doesn't exist outside of Richie. Maybe it took him. How long did it take for him to realize that he had taken a pay cut with the Buffalo Bills? From the moment they signed the deal to the moment he fired his agents on Twitter? Is that how long it took for him to realize that he'd taken a pay cut?
Well, that's what he would tell you. I would kind of go to the track record of David Dunn and Athletes First of being a reputable agency that had, I would think they laid that out for him when this is the deal here, Richie.
Yeah. All right, Ryan Talbot from NewYorkUpstate.com joins us next in the sports bar. We're going to bring on Ryan because a couple of weeks ago, the Bills made a kind of under-the-radar free agent move, but that move now looks like it's going to be in play as you enter into the 2018 season.
Yeah, is Russell Bodine going to be the starting center for the Buffalo Bills with Ryan Groy at left guard? Well, Ryan Talbot did the background on Bodine. We'll have him coming up next.
All right, Ryan Talbot joins us in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. Thanks for listening this afternoon on AM 950 and 95.7 FM, ESPN Rochester.
You've dreamt about that one touchdown.
Leaps for the pylon, and he's in for the touchdown.
You've dreamt about that national title. Now you dream of hearing your name welcoming you to the game's biggest stage.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
The dream becomes reality. With coverage of the first round, April 26th, AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
The Amerks host Syracuse tonight at 7 on the proud home of Rochester Americans Hockey, AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Talking to Buffalo Bills with our buddy Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com. How you doing, Ryan?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, Ryan, I thought we'd be talking a lot of draft, but then here is this story about Richie Incognito. Before we get to Richie, let's jump ahead. What does this all mean for the Buffalo Bills? And we're trying to come up with a depth chart, and it's funny how, you know, the Bills' website is taking all the references off to a depth chart right now. But if we had to kind of guess, Ryan, does this mean Russell Bodine is your starting center coming up for the Buffalo Bills right now as things stand?
No, I wouldn't say not necessarily right now, because I think John Miller could possibly slide over to left guard. People forget about how big of a how improved, I guess, is the best way to put it, he was from year one to year two. But last year, we seldom saw him. A lot of people thought maybe he fell out of favor with the coaching staff, the offensive line coach. Maybe he wasn't a fit. But he did have a lingering ankle issue throughout the year last year, so if he comes in healthy this year, I think he can compete for that left guard job. I think maybe you do give Ryan Groy some looks there as well. And then this could change their draft plans in terms of when they wanted to address the offensive line, the interior offensive line position. Now maybe instead of day three, maybe they have to do it on day two.
We didn't make much of the signing when it happened, but you did a piece at NewYorkUpstate.com to tell everybody a little bit more about Buffalo Bills center Russell Bodine. What do we know about the incoming free agent from Cincinnati?
You know, I talked to Joe Goodberry. He is actually the Athletic Cincinnati's writer on the Bengals. So he knows a lot about Bodine. And he said, you know, here's a guy that since day one as a rookie started at center for the Bengals. Very durable, didn't miss a game, 64 straight starts. And every year he said there was small improvement in his game. The only problem was there wasn't enough improvement. There would be times where he would get blown up on a player, back-to-back plays. He would miss a block, that his core strength was lacking. So it wasn't necessarily the greatest assessment of what you want to hear about a guy coming in. But then you kind of look also at the analytics, and he did have a really strong year. Well, a good year by his standards in 2016 with the Bengals, fell off last year a little bit. So you wonder if a change of scenery will do him wonders, if this new blocking scheme under Juan Castillo will do him favors. Obviously, the Bills targeted him for a reason. They thought that he had that potential to possibly come in and compete for a job. So all you can do at this point is hope that if he is going to be the starting center, that he keeps taking those steps of improvement in Buffalo.
We're talking with Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, our guest here in the sports bar. Another returnee for the Buffalo Bills on the offensive line who, you tell me where he fits in, that being Ryan Groy. When Groy was, offered that sheet by the L.A. Rams at the time, it was concurrent with the timing of Mike Gillisley. And Ryan, I remember us having the debate on our show saying, well, is it Gillisley or do you pay Ryan Groy? And I think a lot of people saw what Ryan Groy did in the last part of 2016 thinking, yeah, you know what, this guy has something. So it kind of begs the question, what exactly happened with Ryan Groy last year? I would have thought he would have been given more of an opportunity in 2017.
Yeah, you know, I thought so as well, especially because the Bills had some issues there in their interior line. They seemed to settle in on Vlad Dacos at some point at right guard, and then they never really gave anyone else a shot there, and some people thought maybe Groy would get an opportunity. The big thing that Sean McDermott said last season is it was good to have someone with Ryan Groy's versatility, but he wanted him more so to be ready to back up Eric Wood in the event that something happened to him. So it sounded more like he wasn't given an opportunity to compete at guard, where this offseason it sounds like it might be a necessity to give him a shot to play left guard, to have him play at center. I think he's in play to start at both positions, depending on what Sean McDermott wants to do first and foremost. Do they target a guy in the draft at center or guard and then see what happens there, and then they make that decision, their final decision on Groy? That's the big question. So I think the draft is going to let us know what the plans are for Ryan Groy, whether they're going to have him compete for the starting center job against Russell Bodine, or if they're going to have him compete for possibly the left guard job against John Miller or even someone else that may be signed in off the street.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, our guest in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. So let's talk about that draft strategy now, knowing what we know, and do the Bills now invest one of their higher draft picks? I mean, certainly plenty of offensive line talent available in that first round. Do you see the Buffalo Bills investing that heavily in their offensive line? Or, a quarterback being the obvious exception, are there other more pressing needs that the Bills will deal with earlier on in the draft?
You know, I'm still in full belief that the Bills are going to package their first two picks to get a quarterback. So I don't see them going after an offensive lineman in round one. But in round two, yeah, you hope that someone falls down the board. Obviously, they'd have to fall pretty significantly to get down to 53 or 56 where the Bills are picking. You're not going to get a Will Hernandez, someone that I fully anticipate will go in round one, who has drawn comparisons to Richie Incognito. But maybe you get a Billy Price out of Ohio State, a guy that can play center or guard. And that versatility could be really good for the Bills, considering that those are both spots that you're going to have an open competition for. Isaiah Wynn, I think he goes in round one as well out of Georgia, but maybe he falls. Braden Smith, he's a player out of Auburn. I think he's a guy that they could target on day two of the draft as well. So there's talent there. It really depends on, one, if the Bills do trade up and get that quarterback, and realistically you're talking 12, 22 first-round pick next year at minimum, do they anticipate him, this quarterback, starting this year? And if so, you better get him that protection. So, yeah, I do think that a guard or center may be one of their priorities on the second day of the draft.
If not, is there anything left in free agency, right? Because I was going over the list last night, and no names are jumping out to me, and maybe you could trade for somebody at that point, but are there any viable options as far as a veteran guard or a veteran center that might be sitting out there still on the free agent market?
You know, the two names, I did the same thing when Richie Incognito declared that he was retiring. I kind of looked it up, and it's slim pickings. Luke Jokel is the first name that jumped to mind.
Mm-hmm.
It was an up-and-down season in Seattle, but he did have his moments where he played well. There were games where he looked very bad, specifically against the Rams, but Aaron Donald is a handful. When you're going against elite talent like that, I guess there's times where you will get exposed. So Jokel would probably be at the top of the list. Jari Evans, another guy who's up there in age, he could actually retire. He's around the same age, I believe, as Richie Incognito. The Bills a few years ago brought him in for a visit when they were actually trying to re-sign Incognito. So that could be in play. Those are the top two names. Alex Boone is on the market, but he really has fallen off since his days with the 49ers. He's had a stint, a very short stint, with the Vikings for a year. I believe he was with the Cardinals last season, signed somewhere around week one. But he wasn't necessarily a fit in a zone blocking scheme, so I wouldn't necessarily put him in play. But you never know. They might just go out there and look and see what's out there just to bring in another body to compete until they know what will be available in the draft. And obviously there could be a guy or two that gets caught in training camp leading up to the season, but you really don't want to depend on hoping that someone that you think would fit your offense will get cut that soon or that early before the start of the season.
Hey, Ryan, you know, last year at this time, we thought it was pronounced Dukasi. I mean, that's how little we knew about Vlad Dukas. And while his preseason was anything inspiring and, you know, he was inactive for the first quarter of the season, he kind of came on as the season progressed, which lends me to give a little confidence and belief that Castillo and McDermott might actually know a thing or two about coaching some of these guys that might be no names. I mean, you know, the loss of Richie Incognito on paper doesn't make the roster look any better, but is it a minimal loss when you consider you can find a guy like Dukas kind of out of nowhere and get them to be a productive member of the Bills offensive line moving forward?
You know, I think one way or the other, the Bills knew that Incognito's days were numbered. Here he's 34. You know that you probably were going to replace him anyways in this draft or find someone to work behind him that could grow into the job. But yeah, seeing how Vlad Dukas performed, and he had more good moments than bad last season. He still had a few moments where he whiffed on some blocks, where plays were blown up because he had a few misses. But he also sprung some runs for LeSean McCoy, and he also had some great moments. So you do hope that maybe Russell Bodine comes in and all of a sudden he looks much better if he wins the starting center job. You hope that Ryan Groy in year two or John Miller in year two of this blocking scheme can step up at left guard, and maybe then you can bring a rookie along slowly, or maybe you feel confident enough in their skills that you push off that until day three of the draft. So it does give the Bills some kind of glimmer of hope that someone internally can step up, but at the same time, this is a pretty decent draft in terms of interior guys that you can get. Like I said, that Billy Price, Frank Ragnow, if you want to get a center, a pure center out of Arkansas, would be a great fit in this draft class for the Bills. So there are guys out there if you're only looking for one or the other.
Ryan Talbot, our guest here, covering the Buffalo Bills, a great reporter for the Syracuse Post Standard. Read his work on NewYorkUpstate.com. Ryan, let's tackle the Richie stuff here. When the story first broke yesterday, it was actually a tweet from Peter King, and in that Peter King quote, you know, Richie is thinking about being done, but would come back, quote, if the price was right. And then he's retired a couple hours later. I mean, what are we to make about everything that has happened with Richie Incognito and this ever-changing story?
You know, it's odd because you would think that a player would have to sign off on restructuring his deal. And that's the first thing that struck out of my mind. He restructured his deal, saved some space for the Bills, came out with a tweet saying how excited he was to be back. If he was really unhappy about the Bills coming to him for a restructure, you would think that he simply could have said no. And I know he had those issues years ago, but there would be a market for Richie Incognito. He's been pretty good on and off the field during his stint in Buffalo, very good on the field, obviously. So why did he agree to the restructured contract? If it was a matter of money and he didn't want to budge, he could have either said, listen, keep me at the contract that I'm at, because he did sign for a discounted rate, in my opinion, when he re-signed with the team, or let me go. So what's changed between now and then where he fires his agent one day and now he comes out and says, tells Peter King that if the price is right, he'll come back, and then hours later, no, it, you know, organs are shutting down, liver, kidneys, whatever it may be. So something, you know, it does seem odd. I will be the first to admit that.
Yeah, I actually thought for a moment, you know what, he's not entirely, if he has a gripe about what he is getting paid, yes, you don't agree to restructuring your deal. You know, he would have gotten paid as the 37th best guard in the league. Well, Richie Incognito is not the 37th best guard in the league. So that $1.6 million that was shaved off his salary by restructuring is the difference between the Bills having a little bit more of a respectable line than what they have at present with Richie Incognito retired.
Yeah, absolutely. But like I said, what changed from the fact that he signed off on restructuring his deal to present day? Something obviously upset him, whether it was the amount of money that someone else got from in free agency. Who knows what it is? You know, it's not my place to necessarily speculate, but it is odd that all of a sudden he's telling King how he was ticked off, or Vic Carucci, how ticked off he was about the restructure when he is the one that agreed to it.
Well, we can figure out now where is this headed, because today, right now, Richie Incognito is still listed on the roster for the Buffalo Bills on their official website, which leads me to believe that the paperwork hasn't been filed. Now, that might just be paperwork delays, whatever, but Ryan, what if this drags out? I mean, how big a distraction could this be? Could we be heading toward kind of an Anquan Boldin situation where I'm retired, you know, I want it back. Remember that whole story, and the Bills had to put out the notice that they would receive, you know, free compensation. I'm just not convinced, Ryan, that the story is done here with Richie Incognito.
You know, I'm not convinced either until that paperwork is filed. Obviously, the NFLPA sent out a tweet last night saying that Incognito informed them he plans to retire. But you're right. Until that paperwork is officially filed, there's something just kind of lingering in the air. Maybe he's open to a trade. Maybe he's open to, you know, he says it's the stress. I don't know if there's a less stressful environment in the NFL. It's the same job no matter where you go. So I don't know what it is, but you're right. I mean, it could be one of those Anquan Boldin situations. And Brandon Bean, though, he didn't flinch last year. When you put him on that reserve retired list, he said they weren't just going to let him go. They'd have to get some kind of fair compensation. So I don't think they're just going to trade him away for peanuts. They'd have to find a deal that works for them as well.
Ryan, real quick before we let you go, and we appreciate your time as always, any word or resolution to the Eric Wood saga?
Yeah, no, there's still nothing there. You would think that given the amount of time that there's been since that awkward press conference, that something would have been worked out officially by now. You know, this was obviously probably a month ago, but he was at a Louisville game, basketball game, and he was said the same thing he said at the press conference. I'm still on the roster. I'll still do what I can to help this team going forward. But, you know, it seems like they're still butting heads over what they're going to do about this bonus money in terms of does he have to pay it back. At the end of the day, he's not voluntarily retiring. He wants still play football, or wanted to still play football until he found out about this neck injury. So it's a tough spot. I get that from the from the Bills front office standpoint. You're trying to get as much money as you can. You have a rookie class coming in. You still want to have some money in season to sign players if injuries occur, whatever it may be. But this isn't a case of a guy who just quit on his team. He had to retire. So, unfortunately, still no resolution there, but hopefully soon.
Ryan Talbot, you can follow him on Twitter at Ryan Talbot Bills. Read his work, NewYorkUpstate.com. Ryan, we always appreciate your time. Thanks so much, Ryan.
Hey, anytime. Thanks, guys.
Ryan Talbot, read his work at NewYorkUpstate.com, including the 7 things that you need to know about New Buffalo Bills center. And this is from a couple of weeks ago, but I think it's more relevant now than it was then. Buffalo Bills center Russell Bodine.
Yeah. Who could be your new starting center for the Buffalo Bills?
Well, at minimum, you've got a competition, yeah. Right? I mean, like that. I like that.
Well, to me, the way this feels, Danger, whether it's pick 22 or picking the second round, you can get a guard there.
We kept mentioning Billy Price, Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Guard, center, versatile. I think McDermott likes those kind of guys.
Well, Eric Wood, when he came out of Louisville, he was a guard and moved over to center. So a lot of guards move over to center, but that would be somebody that would certainly help. And if you had a Groy-Bodine battle for maybe the offensive line isn't as bad as we're led to believe here. I would say this, Danger. If it were a season-ending injury, knock on wood, to Deion Dawkins, then we have problems. We're not talking about the left tackle here. We're talking about the left guard. Incognito's good. It is a loss, but he ain't your left tackle.
Boy, we got to work on the depth as well. Yeah. I mean, the offensive line has to be a need. Has to be a need in the NFL draft for the Buffalo Bills. All right, Gino, let's get to Aldrink to that next. Take a little bit of a break here. Come back with some provocative thoughts from around the world of sports, and I believe you're ready to unveil your Stanley Cup final.
As I like to say, Danger in this show.
Roll the tape!
Oh!
We are going to roll the tape and tell you who will be in the Stanley Cup final.
We are about accountability here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. We will roll the tape. We'll tell you who we've got going in the Stanley Cup playoffs, which, of course, kick off tonight.
And a sad farewell to a tradition in the NFL, a short-lived tradition in the NFL, but a sad farewell that we'll tell you about. And I'll drink to that on the way next in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
The ESPN Rochester app is the easiest way to connect with Rochester's most listened-to sports station. Get the latest news and scores from the Bills, Sabres, Amherst, and all of your favorite teams. Stream ESPN Rochester live anywhere you go. Listen to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on demand and on your device. Download it now in the Apple App Store or Google Play. The ESPN Rochester app from Rochester Sports Leader, AM 950 and 95.7 FM. ESPN Rochester. ESPN Rochester, the sports leader, is Rochester's new home for Amherst hockey. Hear every bone-crunching hit, every spectacular save, every screaming slap shot and game-winning goal on AM 950 and 95.7 FM. Ready your shield for Rochester Americans hockey. Exclusively on AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.